This is KCUR 89.3. Historically, the armed forces have not kept track of information on members who are transgender, so it's hard to know what the impact of President Trump's recent ban on transgender men and women in the military will be. In a series of tweets this past August, the president said that health care for transgender soldiers was too costly and that they compromise military readiness. KCUR's Laura Ziegler visited with a number of transgender military retirees in Kansas City who spoke about how military service shaped them.
Dressed in white sandals and a flowy bright shell, Suzanne Wheeler walks over to a table and picks up an elegant wood-handled Army combat knife.
The knife was given to me at retirement. It's my favorite retirement gift that I received.
She's also proud of the engraving on the back of the knife.
It's got my name on it. So.
And that says Howard E. Wheeler.
Yeah, that's my old name. Because when I retired, a lot of the gifts still came in my old name.
Wheeler's office is lined with memorabilia and awards from her 32 years in the Army. She retired as a colonel and at one time supervised 7,400 soldiers and airmen. She did combat tours in Kosovo and Bosnia, Iraq and Afghanistan. It was 6 months before President Obama lifted the long-standing ban on military service for transgender individuals that Wheeler decided to begin hormone therapy. Her face and her body began to change quickly. She had to shop for baggier uniforms as she developed breasts and hips. It didn't take long for her to decide to come out to her leaders.
The general that I came out to had known me for a very, very long time, conservative guy. I told him what was going on. When we got all done, he got up, gave me a big hug.
Unlike many transgender men and women who talk about their birth names as dead names, Wheeler doesn't. She points to a faded 4x6 photograph of her as an Army captain at Fort Riley, surrounded by troops.
All of those folks in that picture, I can still name their names. It would dismiss all of them from my past, and that wouldn't be right.
Some studies say there are as many as 15,000 transgender men and women, either on active duty or in the reserves, and that their health care costs are minimal, less than 0.5% of the multi-billion-dollar Pentagon budget. Standing before a small LGBT support group one recent evening at Lee Wood's massive Church of the Resurrection, Carrie Ann Lewis uses a PowerPoint presentation to illustrate her lecture. Her main point: that God accepts everyone, including transgender people.
There is no longer male or female for all.
Lewis grew up in a Southern Baptist home in small town Minnesota. She, too, was drawn to the hyper-masculine image of the military for cover and served in top security positions as a Navy photographer. But she says it was her faith that liberated her to become herself.
My first time dressing at home was probably about 10 years old. And even once I got into the military and got married, and when I was 50, I had a weekend home alone. The urge hit to dress. And while I was looking at myself in the hall mirror in my home, I heard a voice over my shoulder that said, "You can do this."
A recent manifesto signed by hundreds of Christian evangelical leaders challenges Lewis and other Christian LGBT advocates. The so-called Nashville Statement lays out 14 biblical beliefs in opposition to, among other things, same-sex marriage and transgenderism. Carmen Xavier grew up on Kansas City's West Side. She served during the Vietnam era and came home to pursue her education in nursing. She got involved in politics as a school board member and a legislator in Jackson County. She says at that time, she wasn't living her authentic self.
I was not Carmen Xavier. If it serves the purpose, my dead name was Federico Sanchez.
As she pursued her education here and in California, she met transgender women who encouraged her to transition. She was in her late 60s. Xavier recently moved to the rapidly growing community of Smithville. When she moved, she proudly raised her rainbow flag. Vandals pelted her windows with eggs and threw paint balloons against her garage door. The silver lining, she met Officer Chris Mendoza, who came when she called the Smithville police. Now he checks in on her regularly and comforts her as she recalls the incident.
And the first time he came in... He came in and said that he would take care of me.
The rhetoric coming out of Washington rattles Xavier, but she says it's made her think about moving forward. She says she's a different kind of soldier now, a citizen.
Caitlyn Jenner is not the only issue affecting America. Joe Sixpack has problems. Tom, I lost my job. Smith has problems. Transgendered people need to extend a hand and say, I am willing to discuss your issue.
Xavier says she's going to run for the Smithville School Board in the next election. In the meantime, local members of the transgender military community are engaging with young people who they fear will retreat from military service. It's still a way to preserve American freedom, they say, but also maybe a way to find freedom for themselves. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Laura Ziegler.